everybody, welcome to the inaugural episode of Chris and Ron Live. My name is Ron Pertee. Just a little bit of a background if you don't know who the hell I am. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a writer. I'm an all-around great guy with an addiction for Coke Zero. That's my addiction. I know a couple of things about movies, and that's what we're going to be talking about today on Chris and Ron Live. We're going to talk about movies. That's our podcast, our show, whatever you want to call it. We talk about movies, and we really don't agree on a lot of stuff. So that's going to be the fun stuff. So without further ado, my co-host with the most, he's knuckle deep, Chris House.
That's me. I'm Chris. And I'm not quite as hopped up on caffeine as Ron is. But I think that, you know, I might have a few things to say. One or two things at
least.
Just
a few things to say? Just a few?
I'm the co-founder and co-director of the Milwaukee Twisted Dreams Film Festival. So I know a thing or two about films.
What the hell is that? Should I be submitting to this thing?
We only take quality films.
So. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so that's that lock knocks me completely out of the running.
We're very selective.
What's that?
We're very selective.
Yes, you are very selective. And I could make a joke about something, but I'm going to take the high road, and I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to drink my Cherry Coke Zero.
You do that.
All right, anyway, so let's get into it. First off, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about our main movie, our main topic. And then we're going to go into singular movies that we want to talk about that have irked us. The main topic this week is going to be The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot. And then we're going to go on to talk about our singular movies. I believe yours is Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
And mine is Annabelle Comes Home. A lot of home stuff here.
Yep.
A lot of home stuff. A lot of home stuff. The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot. It is actually one of my personal favorites of 2019.
I have no idea why.
Okay, what do you, okay, let's get down to it. What don't you like about the film?
I don't like anything about it.
It's anything at all?
Boring. It's not interesting. You've got an awesome cast. You've got Sam fucking Elliott and his mustache, and he's just boring throughout the whole thing. Like, you think that fucking name, The Man Who Killed Hitler and then Bigfoot, you think that's gonna be one fucking epic movie, but it's just boring. It's boring.
I just completely disagree. However, I will say this, I'm trying to bring up the Wikipedia so we have more information. But it is produced by Lucky McKee, who made the film May.
I think he's overrated.
Oh!
He's overrated.
Oh, you know how everybody does thumbs up, thumbs down? You're making me want to shove my thumb up your ass. Anyway, we should probably preface something before we get any deeper. This is not going to be your father's Siskel and Ebert type show. We're going to say what we feel, whatever we feel about whatever movie, and we're not going to hold back because there's no real point in holding back, but we're not going to go overboard. We're not going to get ridiculous. We're not going to have delusions of grandeur or anything like that, but
Heaven forbid.
No. So a little bit of background. I've had the man on my other show, and I cannot say his last name for the life of me, but the writer-director is Bob Kruskowski, fellow Polak, let's see here, written by, and it took him 11 years to make this film, by the way. Lucky McKee, who made The Woman, which is an amazingly disturbing daylight horror film. If you haven't seen it, folks, check it out.
It was okay.
It was disturbing because
who's the guy, the lead, the father, reminded me of Will Ferrell throughout the whole fucking movie. He looked like Will Ferrell, acted like Will, sounded like Will Ferrell. I couldn't get it out of my head.
Well, maybe he got him because he couldn't afford Will Ferrell.
Maybe.
Maybe this was Will Ferrell trying. It was like maybe he was like, well, maybe we should try and get Will Ferrell to do a horror movie and change up his thing like he did with Stranger Than Fiction. You know, and things like that. Because we all know when a comedian does a drama, it's way better. I mean, Punch Drunk Love, anyone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, next thing you know, you're going to tell me that Paul Thomas Anderson is overrated.
That's another show.
Oh, dude. Oh, I can. You're making me hit my chair. And it hurts bad. my chair, not me. My hands. It's a nice cushiony chair. But anyway, I love this movie. Now, when it comes to the title, though, I will grant you that it is a little misleading. That when you go into this film, you expect a giant, like, exploitative type of, like, 70s throwback movie. But it's way
deep. I mean, he does kill Hitler and Bigfoot.
It's not a lie. It does happen.
Yeah.
But you expect it to be in a much more, like, retro 70s throwback type of manner, like maybe like a Vinegar Syndrome movie or something like that. And you don't get that until I'd say 3/4 of the way through when he gets to like the base in Canada, mm-hmm. which is like this big, huge kind of like over the top, like military base. And then there's the scene with the vomit, which is kind of gross. But I thought this movie was pretty deep. I thought it had a lot of, I mean, I know it was a little slow because I know your attention span isn't that great, but it's only 98 minutes, which is the perfect length.
I sat through Endgame without a bathroom break.
So did I, because I watched it at home. Anyway, I'm not going to say how, because that would be bad. Because I didn't want to pay to see that movie because I knew how it was going to end. I called the Captain America bullshit 6 months ago.
There's no way you could have known that Captain America did what he did.
Okay, you want to know how I said it was? You want to know how I think it was going to happen? My version was like this, and it was arguably better. Okay? Granted, I'm not the Russos, but this is what I would have done. All right? I would have had him do this whole thing with the stones or whatever and just take them back. But instead of him showing up there as an old spoiler alert for the billion-dollar movie, if you haven't seen it, instead of having him show up there as an old man with the shield that's like, what, where, what? And where's the hammer while you're at it? Where, you know, you're just going to sit there with the shield. You're not going to bring the hammer with. Maybe give back to Thor.
Maybe he did.
Yeah, well,
we don't know what he did in
true. But here's what I would have done. I wouldn't even have done any of that, okay? I would have had Sam find the shield in storage. Like, he would have got a Western Union or something saying, hey, you got to come to this location. Bada boom, bada bing. There's the note from Steve with the shield, and he's retired. He doesn't want anything to do with anything. But what happens is they show him go back, and then all of a sudden you see that the outdoor, like this, the outside of like a big ballroom, right? And the doors swing open, and in walks Steve in his Class A uniform. And then out of nowhere, you just hear Peggy say, "You're late." And then watch the teardrops fall. But I said that 6 months before the movie came out. And essentially, he did that. Essentially.
Essentially, yeah. But I think they just wanted to wrap everything up at that setting, at that scene. I mean, the movie was as long as it was. You know, Why drag it on?
I guess.
I thought it was fine.
It was what it was.
Spider-Man Far From Home was a better movie.
We'll talk about that in just a second, but I want to finish my point about The Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot, is that it had this kind of deeper meaning for me about a man who, you know, was forced to, I mean, not about forced, but he had to go through a lot to kill somebody who, at the end of the day, like he said at the dining room table, killing Hitler didn't change anything because his ideals were already out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it made a lot of valid points. It's been for a movie that was written 11 years ago, a lot of those valid points were resonating kind of in a weird way, you know. And he you saw how he felt for having to kill Bigfoot, because Bigfoot is a creature that doesn't know any better. You know?
Yeah, the whole reason that they have him kill Bigfoot was just stupid too.
It is what it is, but it's a fun movie.
I felt like that was forced. You know, he didn't really have to. They didn't have to do Bigfoot. It could have just been the man that killed Hitler.
That would have been a short movie.
They could have dragged it out and made it interesting. I mean, fighting Nazis is always fun.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a given. I mean, unless you're a Nazi, then you don't like, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Unless you're one of those people who doesn't like to punch Nazis in the face, and if that's the case, why are we talking? Yes. But no, it's one of those things that I think it's like, I mean, I've never met somebody who just hated the movie outright like you do. They always have like their problems with it. But I think it's. It's in my top 10 of 2019.
I think if Quentin Tarantino would have directed it, it would have been a lot better.
And it would have been 3 hours long, and there would have been about a half an hour in the movie that didn't need to be there.
I would have been fine.
Or we would have had Hateful Thing. I mean, Hateful Eight. Oh, sorry.
Put some action into it. Kill more Nazis. Kill more Bigfoots. Why can't throw more Bigfoots in there?
But isn't Bigfoot supposed to be like the missing link between caveman and I say evolved man, but let's be honest here. I mean, come on. I don't know. It's a bunch of crap. But I love that movie. I actually own it on DVD.
It was boring.
I think you can think it's boring. That's fine. So let's get to recommendations on this, because I don't think we should do stars. I think we should just say whether or not people, you don't recommend the film.
I can't recommend it. No, I just thought it was boring. It dragged on. It had a lot of potential. Like, I thought if there was more action, more stuff going on, it was just not for me.
Okay. Well, then I suggest you don't watch anything by Ingmar Bergman.
Well, you can't talk about Bergman like that. You can't compare this to Bergman.
No, I'm not comparing it to Bergman, but I'm saying Bergman is not exactly known for his concise storytelling.
But better storytelling than this.
I'm not saying that this movie's better than anything Bergman's put out, but he's put out some stuff that makes you scratch your head a few dozen times.
Yeah, but for the right reasons, not like this. This was just nonsense.
I recommend the film. It's only 98 minutes. It's not like it's one of these 3-hour epics that you're gonna have to go to the. I mean, and you don't even have to worry about going to the bathroom during the movie, because it's out on DVD and Blu-ray, so you can go buy it or get it at your Redbox.
Yeah.
You know.
Here's a spoiler though. The guy goes to kill Hitler unceremoniously. No big deal. Boom. Hitler's dead. Got to go kill Bigfoot now. Okay. Blup, blup, blup.
Okay, but when it comes to him killing Hitler, okay, you can't expect it to be some guns blazing Clint Eastwood.
Why not?
Because if it was just him,
this guy is supposed to be larger than life. Like,
yeah, but him going in there, he would have been dead. He would have been dead.
They built this guy up to be this legend. You know, he should be going in there, guns blazing. You know, machine guns in both arms, knife in his teeth, killing all the Nazis. That would have made it more fun.
Well, I don't think this movie was... Okay, I don't want to say it wasn't made to be fun, because there were moments that were pretty fun. But I actually... sidetrack just for a second. I actually had somebody say... I was reading comments, and they're like, "Oh, dude, what do you think was in the box?" It's like, really? Hmm. Okay. After everything that happens in that movie, and you're asking what's in the box. Okay. Thanks for showing up. Have a good day.
Participation prize.
You get the Stanley No Prize. So now I recommend the film. Chris does not. So take whoever's opinion as you will. But you know what? At least go to your Redbox. Spend what is it, $1.50 now at the Redbox? Maybe.
I don't Redbox.
Well, whatever. Well, if you're out there and you Redbox and you know, all right, if you're one of those assholes who parks in the handicapped spot just so you can run up to the red box and return your movie and then stand there for 10 minutes looking for something else, go ahead and check out The Man Who Killed Hitler. And
I think we have another show idea. I think Ron's got something with the red box customers.
I gotta
dive into that.
Anywho, so now we're gonna get into our individual movies. You touched on Spider-Man: Far From Home, so let's go ahead and give your talk about Spider-Man: Far From Home, and then I'll tell you why I think one of the post-credit sequences is a cop out.
Interesting. So I've seen it twice so far.
You know which one I'm talking about.
I think I do. Yeah. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I know what happens.
You heard the spoilers. Yeah. So I went to see the press screening of it. And sometimes at those press screenings, they don't have all the extra credit scenes.
Right.
You know, they don't have those until it's released, but they had all of them in on this one. And, I think it's my favorite, one of my favorite Marvel. I have a hard time calling it my favorite Marvel, but it's up there. It's one of my favorite Marvel movies. Just super fun movie. I think it got the comic book pretty right as far as backstories of the villains, well, except for Mysterio, they changed him a little bit, but you got hints of Chameleon, the Scorpion, bunch of different villains you got some Easter eggs of. And it was funny. It was just a lighthearted movie, not serious. It wasn't serious like Endgame or Infinity War. It was just, it didn't take itself too seriously. Really had a lot of fun with it.
It's kind of like Shazam in a way.
Yeah, exactly. And I like Shazam too. I did.
Yeah, I think Shazam is one of the better DC movies. I had more fun in Shazam. Shazam dragged a little bit for me though in the middle. Right after he realized he had to take on Mark Strong, is that his name? Yeah. Once that happened, it kind of dragged for a little bit. Like, should I use my power? Should I give him up? At least it didn't drag like Aquaman dragged. Aquaman dragged for a good half hour that could have been cut. But it was still a good movie. I still enjoyed it. And I eat my I eat my words about not liking Jason Momoa as Aquaman.
Yeah, Jason Momoa is pretty good, but I agree that it kind of dragged a little bit.
Yeah, just like, originally when they said that he was going to be Aquaman, I was very big into, like, thinking, no, he shouldn't be Aquaman. Look at Aquaman. He should be, and I'll tell you who I wanted to have play Aquaman was Alexander Skarsgård from True Blood.
Yeah, he would have been interesting.
Tall, lanky, got a swimmer's build. It would have been perfect.
He was actually good in his Tarzan movie.
See, I haven't seen that, but I heard that he was. I heard he was the shining light in a shit movie.
Yeah, you know? He was good.
So I mean, that would have been great. And then Jason Momoa would have been, but then he would have had to cut his hair to have him play Namor. But he kind of would have been a good Namor, I think.
Yeah, they could change it up and have Namor have long hair.
Yeah, well, Namor is going to be some cracker white guy.
Yeah.
You know, but...
I was always fine with Jason Momoa as Aquaman. I never had a problem with him. I like Jason Momoa. I really liked him in Marcus Nispel's Conan movie. I'm a big fan of Marcus Nispel.
I heard that Conan movie was really, really shitty, though.
It wasn't great. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. It was serviceable.
And I thought Marcus Nispel did the Chainsaw remake, right?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I didn't hate the Chainsaw remake, but whenever I hear, like, Darcy the male girl say, I like the remake better than the original, I'm like, what? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I like the remake a lot. It's probably one of my favorite horror remakes, but no, there is no way that it's better than the original.
See, I think my favorite horror remake is probably going to go to Friday the 13th. Another Marcus Nispel. Yeah. Because it kept, while it condensed a lot of information that needed to be spread out over more time, I think, it was still stayed true to the character of Jason. And that's the important thing. And as fucked up as that is, saying that you have to stay true to Jason Voorhees, a machete wielding serial killer. But he's one of those, what's the word I'm looking for? Sympathetic killers, because he didn't go out of his way. His initial intent wasn't to kill everybody. It's because he saw his mom get beheaded. You know, he's right along there. And I think that, and here's the thing, I think that Leatherface is a very sympathetic killer.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's essentially simple minded. He's just protecting the family. He doesn't know what's going on. It just kind of, you know, you look at him and he just kind of, you could tell that out of the millions of brain cells we have, he's got two left. Or he was only born with two. But he's very, you know, and people always say, no, he's a cold-blooded killer. It's like, well, these people are, first off, these people broke into his house. He didn't go out looking for them. You know, and that leads to my other point is that apparently Mercury began in retrograde today. And with that going on, we all know that that's when Texas Chainsaw Massacre happened. So, don't go walking into anybody's house in Texas, you fucking idiots.
Don't drive down desolated dirt roads either.
Even in Wisconsin, don't. Because, I mean, we had Ed Gein, Eddie, the butcher of Plainfield, you know. But,
I've been to Plainfield a few times, and it's very underwhelming going to Plainfield. What's in Plainfield? A bunch of porn X-rated bookstores.
Really?
And people that, it's like the highway's littered with them. And people don't want to talk about Gein. I went there with Mike Butt to do an episode of Wisconsin Unexplained there. And he's got this big camera on his shoulder, right? And he's going around in gas stations and hardware stores asking about Ed Gein. And I swear to God, like, the minute he walked in, he was walking right back out because he got kicked out for asking about Ed Gein. So if you ever go to Plainfield, don't ask about Ed Gein.
I hear the property is still for sale and is still and is haunted.
Yeah, I don't know about haunted, but yeah, it is for sale. We actually went on the property. It's all private property, so we weren't supposed to, but, you know, of course we did because we drove there. But it's just really overgrown with, like, bushes and trees and shrubs, and it's hard to walk around on it.
That's crazy. That's a little Wisconsin history there for all you folks who aren't from the state. So that's, you know, I feel like those two are a couple of sympathetic killers, you know, so that's just the way I look at it. And Marcus Nispel did both of their remakes.
Yep.
And Daniel Pearl actually shot the remake for Chainsaw, and he shot the original, so.
Yeah, there you go. And I was going to say Gein was actually sympathetic, too. It might be controversial to say, but, you know, he was...
He was simple-minded. Yeah, no, you know what? Here comes some more weird stuff to say, but I also kind of see Dahmer as a sympathetic killer, too, in a way, because he had somebody realize what was going on, they would have saved a lot of lives. You know what I mean? Like, he had mental issues that needed addressing. Mm-hmm. You know, and at the end of the day, all he wanted was love.
Isn't that what we all want?
It is what we all want. It is. And I don't know if I'd make a sex zombie for it. I mean, because there are fleshlights now. But, you know.
Do you think if they had fleshlights back then?
Maybe. He wouldn't have done what he did. And he could have, like, you know, he could have knocked a guy out and made a fleshlight out of his butthole. And then been like, I'm banging the hitchhiker.
He did practice necrophilia, so maybe he did that.
Maybe, who knows? That's a little disturbing. And we've gone off on a very, very dangerous tangent here.
Yeah, we have.
But that's okay. So you recommend Far From Home?
I do. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It really set up the next phase for Marvel films, I think. There was a couple of the post-credit scenes had some really big surprises. Cameo by somebody that you never would have expected. I know I didn't expect. And a real twist ending.
Yeah, I'm a little, you know, I'm referring
to... Do you want to talk spoilers?
From this point on right now, we'll talk about the post-credit spoilers. Let's not spoil the whole Quentin Beck thing. But if you know anything about Mysterio, you know what happens is coming. Yeah. But let's talk about the one certain post-credit sequence, just the one. And it's when you find out that the entire time, Maria Hill and I can't even call him Nick Fury, and Nick Fury were Skrulls.
Throughout this film. We don't know if they were Skrulls through the past films. It's possible.
But they were hired by Nick Fury to portray them.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell... When someone brings up Captain Marvel and
don't invoke his name.
So it's like, what?
There was another scene too, when, Nick Fury is explaining who Quentin Beck was. He said he's from Earth, just not yours.
Yeah.
He's saying it right there.
Yeah. Yeah, they were good. When you go back and you watch it, you're like, oh, okay. But it's kind of like a cop-out, and it's a shitty way to try and set up Secret Invasion. You know,
it's rumored that that's going to be part of Phase 4.
But if they're going to do that, they're going to have to bring the X-Men and the Fantastic Four in then. They have to.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, but how? If they're...
You know they will. They own the rights, of course.
Yeah, but my whole thing is, like, when it comes to the... Okay, you know what? Fuck it. Spoilers. Quentin Beck is not part of the multiverse. He was fired by Tony Stark for being a douchebag, basically. So they haven't established a multiverse yet, which was the big cop out way to get the X-Men and the Fantastic Four into the Marvel universe. But I can hear it now. They've been there all along. Okay, I can understand the X-Men not wanting to get involved. because they're mutants and people fear them, so they don't want to get they look different, they don't want to get involved. Fine, I understand that. But if you've ever read a single Fantastic Four comic, you know damn well Reed Richards would not sit by and let any of this shit happen without the first family of Marvel getting involved.
Yeah. I mean, they might go with a multiverse. That would be the easiest way to explain where everybody was. Call it a cop-out. You know, they got to do something. You know, what would be the way that you do it? How would you introduce these characters?
Boy, I don't even know. Because, I've thought about it. I mean, I know how I would make a Fantastic Four movie. I would skip the origin completely. I would gloss over it. I would have maybe the FF has been, you know, hiding out, and because somebody they never say who bought Stark Tower.
No,
it could be the Baxter Building now, for all we know.
Could be the Baxter. Could be Oscorp. Could be anything.
Anything, yeah. Well, I mean, I heard that after this one, Spidey's going back to Sony full time.
Or is there
one more?
I think there was a trilogy.
Okay, because I know. Sony's like, well, now we know how to make them. Thanks, Marvel. Yeah. Suckers.
I think he had a 5-picture deal. Holland.
So, Homecoming, Infinity. No, Civil War, Homecoming, Infinity War, Endgame, Far From Home.
Far From Home. Yeah, maybe it was 6.
Yeah, we'll find out, won't we?
The way they ended it, there's got to be another one. I'm sure. I'd almost bet my life on it.
Well, yeah, and if it goes back to Sony, they can't use Nick Fury or anybody like that. So they would be stuck with have Venom show up.
And it would be in Sony's best interest to let Marvel lead the way, because look at how much money Far From Home is making. And look at what Sony Spider-Man did with The Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. Those were, Part 1, I think, did pretty good, but Part 2 was just a bomb.
And I didn't hate Andrew Garfield as a Spider-Man.
I didn't either. I thought he did a okay job.
The script was garbage.
Yeah. For part two. I like part one. Part two was junk.
Yeah, part two. Oh, jeez. Don't get me started. Paul Giamatti in a rhino outfit. But, yeah. So you recommend Far From Home for everybody to go check out. See it in the theater, I assume.
See it in the theater.
Okay. Now, here comes the fun begins. I want to talk about Annabelle Comes Home. It has definitely taken a step back when it comes to Conjuring films. It's not a bad Conjuring film, but there was a lot of setup and let down when it comes to jump scares. I'm just going to, right out front, I'm going to spoil the hell out of this movie because it's a Conjuring movie.
I've seen it.
Yeah, and it takes place in the Warrens' household, so you know that the Warrens are going to survive.
My biggest issue with this film was they introduced Annabelle. It picks up after the first Conjuring movie when Ed and Lorraine Warren bring Annabelle home. You know,
right.
Bringing them home, they're driving home, shit happens.
But we don't know, in the course of everything, we don't know. I mean, because they pick up Annabelle in the beginning of the first movie, and then we don't know how long it is between Annabelle and the stuff at the farmhouse. So we don't know if this happens between them, or if it's after the farmhouse, or with Ron Livingston and all them. So I'll
tell you what I thought. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. But, like, right when they get home, with Annabelle, they like leave and they're gone through the whole fucking movie. You know, this, like, the trailers let me believe that, hey, Ed and Lorraine were going to be in through the whole thing with their daughter. No, they up and leave like right away in the movie, and they leave the daughter with a babysitter and a babysitter's friend.
And a babysitter who has asthma.
Yeah.
You have a house full of.
They had to set that up, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have that. So.
This is not an adult horror film. No. This easily could have been a PG-13 movie. I thought Bob was a great character. I thought he was fun.
Yeah, Bob was good. Yeah, especially towards the end where he's running away from the werewolves.
He hits the ghost werewolf with a guitar.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. It just felt really, and then I had a friend say that, because I feel like with The Conjuring 2, which is not a bad film, I like The Conjuring 2, but I feel like they turn Ed and Lorraine into superheroes. almost.
Yeah.
And with the Conjuring or with Annabelle Comes Home, my friend was like, "Oh no, no, the their daughter saves the day." I'm like, "Does she though?" And he's like, "What are you talking about?" And I says, "Think about this, all right? If the projector wasn't loaded with a video or a reel of Ed performing an exorcism, Ed performing, not the daughter, then the wedding dress would have taken over Daniela and she would have killed the babysitter and everybody else." So you see, in a way, Ed did save the day. You know? So, I mean, anybody who says otherwise, I'm going to have to check your brain card and see if you've been taking your brain medicine.
Yeah. I reviewed it. I wrote a review and I just said, you know, it's a very paint by numbers horror film.
Oh, it is. Definitely.
There's a lot of basic horror tropes throughout that. It doesn't do anything new for the horror genre. It's just a straightforward, you know what's going to happen next kind of horror film.
Well, what it is, it's
not a bad film, but
no,
it's not.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I'm getting kind of, I don't know. It's weird. Like I'm not as, taken by jumps to get scares anymore because they've all been done.
Yeah.
You know, like I went to see The Curse of La Llorona and I wanted to walk out, but I was there with friends. I'm like, this movie is a pile of shit. And then the way it ends, I'm like, no, fuck you, movie. Fuck you.
Yeah, I really liked The First Conjuring. I thought that James Wan really set up a cool universe. Like, you can really do a lot of stuff here. Like, The First Conjuring was an awesome horror film, I thought.
Oh, it was amazing. And then part two was even good.
Yeah,
but then, I mean, and Annabelle Creation was better than Annabelle. And Comes Home, I think, was on, just on par with Creation.
Yeah.
I think I didn't care for The Nun all that much.
I didn't like that much either. I haven't seen La Llorona yet, but I've heard it's pretty similar.
It's bad. I fucking hated that movie.
It's a shame, you know. You could really do a lot of good stuff with this whole Conjuring universe, you know. Focus more on Ed and Lorraine Warren, you know. I want to know what they do, you know. They're the ones that started the whole
Right. Well, my thing is that when it comes down to it, Annabelle Comes Home is just basically a launching pad for all the other cases that they've done so they can do more spin-offs.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of that, but
it's just a cash. Annabelle Comes Home was a cash grab, essentially.
Next, the backstory of the wedding dress, or
the hellhound, or anything like that. And then there's a glaring plot hole. She was wearing that bracelet with her dad's picture in it, right? Mm-hmm. When did she ever take it off? We never saw her take it off. And then all of a sudden, magically, Lorraine has it.
Yeah.
I mean, what? And I said, I looked right at my friend, I'm like, dude, fucking plot hole. What plot hole? He's a big Conjuring fan. I love you to death, Nick. I do. But I'm more of an Insidious guy.
I liked Insidious, too. You know, part three gets a lot of hate, but I
liked
thought it
part
was pretty
three.
Good. Yeah,
It was a solid prequel. And I still haven't seen Last Key yet, but I hear that one's decent. Did Lee Whannell direct part four, or did he direct part three?
He directed part four.
Okay. See, then I got to check it out because I'm a big fan of Lee Whannell.
Yeah, me too. Ever since Saw, the first Saw.
Yeah, the best Saw.
Yeah.
Annabelle Comes Home. Wait for DVD, I guess, and just get it at Redbox. Don't rush to the, you know, it's made its money back. It's already considered a successful film, and there'll be another one. So we just have to kind of wait until they figure out what else to do with the doll.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said in my review. Wait for it on home video or DVD. Don't rush out to see it.
But there was another thing, is that Lorraine says that the doll is a conduit for demons and spirits, etc. But then the daughter says that Annabelle wants her soul, or wants a soul. Why would the doll want something if it's a conduit? Exactly.
Blot hole. I don't know.
because the script said so.
Look, the real Ed and Lorraine Warren, pretty controversial figures. for everybody out there, I do paranormal investigating on the side too.
I was just going to ask you,
Milwaukee.
Yeah, because and before you get into it, I was going to ask you this: Lorraine just died a little while ago, a year ago or so. So, who's in charge of their room?
Their grandson.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least somebody's taking care of it.
It was open to the public, as like a reservation kind of thing. You made a reservation, she'd take you through, and you got to see all the stuff. I don't think he's doing that right now, but I think they're looking to build like an actual building, a new building, because it was just in like their awning of their house.
Okay. But yeah, and then I noticed though. Did you notice the cameo by the by a doll that was similar to the actual Annabelle? They're watching TV and they're watching some show and they give a giant Raggedy Ann doll.
Oh yeah,
Like, oh, that's nice for people.
And that's the thing too. The real Annabelle doll is just this Raggedy Ann doll that you got to buy in the store in the 70s. It wasn't this elaborate, evil looking doll.
You know. Yeah. Now talk more about your paranormal stuff. I personally am not a big believer in this stuff, but. You are, so go ahead and give your backstory and how you're more attuned to what the Warrens are throwing out there.
Okay. Well, first we're a debunk first group. We're a debunk first group. We don't go in saying, "Oh my God, you're haunted. You gotta have an exorcism. Bring a priest in." No, we're looking for the scientific reason why people are experiencing what they are, whether it's, you know, medications that they're on, mental illness, you know, mice in the walls, raccoons on the ceiling, stuff like that, gas leak, you know, carbon monoxide poisoning, slow leaks that can cause hallucinations, things like that. So that's what we go on looking for. We don't go on looking to prove there's a ghost. We're going looking for why people are experiencing what they're experiencing.
You're not Zach Bagans.
God, no, fuck no. That guy's that's a shyster. Yeah, we've got names for Zach, Hollywood Bagans.
Oh God, that guy's a douchebag.
He's a massive douchebag, and he's an asshole in person too.
I bet. I wouldn't doubt it. So today on the show, we've covered The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot. I say go see it, rent it, whatever. Chris says don't. He's and his solo little movie thing, I don't know what we're going to call it. Chris's pick of the week is Far From
Home. Spider-Man Far From Home. Yes. Go see it on the big screen.
I didn't have a pick this week. Thwip. I mean, if I'm going to – yes, thwip indeed.
Thwip.
You know what? I am going to have a pick.
Tell us what to see.
I don't know if it's in the theaters anymore. But if you get a chance, like if there's a budget cinema near you, which I miss budget cinemas so much.
There's one up here by me.
Oh, is there still? Oh, yeah. Okay. Go see Brightburn.
Oh, fucking Brightburn was awesome.
Brightburn is it's such a slap in the face to superhero movies.
Yeah.
And I loved it was almost like James Gunn decided, I'm going to produce this film. Because I was just fired from Marvel, and fuck superheroes.
Yep.
And
Brightburn was great.
And I, you know what's funny about Brightburn is the mother, Elizabeth Banks, she got off the easiest.
She did, yeah.
You know, and that's another thing is it really kind of does the whole nature.
Well, I don't know. There'd be that like terror, you think, falling.
Yeah, but in the end, she doesn't get her face ripped off.
No, that's true.
You know, she doesn't get autopsied. That was pretty gruesome. But, you know, that's what I loved about that, is there was gore in the movie. And
it was a lot gorier than I thought it would be.
Like, oh, yeah.
They've got the kid doing it. I thought since there was a kid in there, they were going to hold back. But no, they didn't hold back at all.
But it wasn't over the top. You know, and you'd see it for like maybe 10, not even like 5 seconds, and that would be it. They wouldn't focus on it. You know, like a lot of films do, and that's a good thing. But yeah, go see Brightburn. I can't wait for the Blu-ray. I loved the Michael Rooker Alex Jones thing at the end. Mm-hmm. That was great.
Yeah, it had a great cast.
Oh yeah, it was fantastic. I love Elizabeth Banks. I loved her in her little Ramon shirt with her little purple streak. I'm like, yeah, I want to farm.
The guy from The Office. What was
that,
his name?
That was Pam's husband, or would be husband. I forget his. Yeah. I forgot his name.
David something.
Yeah, and then who else was in there that was notable? I don't remember anybody else.
The kid was good.
No, he was great.
I don't know what the kid has been in.
I don't think he's been anything. But this also brings up the point of nature versus nurture, because they treated that kid just like Ma and Pa Kent would have treated Clark.
Yeah.
They did not beat him. They did not abuse him. He just showed up bad. You know, so it's a lot of the whole nature versus nurture bullshit, you know, that whole conversation. But they don't overdo it, which is great.
He was bullied at school, though.
Oh, well, we all saw what happened to that girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he just wanted love, too.
Poor kid.
Little Jeffrey Dahmer with a cape.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a sequel.
I think we're going to get a universe if things go well, because I love that.
That's right. They set that up with the other heroes. Yeah, kind of like
Evil
Batman
Aquaman.
Superman.
Yeah. Evil Aquaman, Evil Wonder Woman. But even if it's a one-off, I'll be okay with it.
Yeah.
Because it sets it leaves it in a nice spot, kind of like Super. I liked Super a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That was another James Gunn. James Gunn is really good at what he does, and he doesn't get nearly as much credit as he deserves. I think we have Troma to thank for that. So you know,
there
you go. Thanks, Lloyd. But yeah, so those are the picks for this week. Anything coming up that you want to see?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think, is going to be the next one that I see in the theater.
See, I don't know about that for me, because it's kind of, I got to check out the runtime, because with Hateful, I didn't like Hateful Eight at all. And
I think it's clocking in at about 3 hours.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Tarantino hasn't made a good movie since his editor died, Sally.
Yeah.
When she died, it's like, because she was probably the only person he would listen to when she said, hey, you got to cut this, this, and this. Django was about 20 minutes too long.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to, like, the scenes up in the hills. None of that needed to happen.
Did you hear that Quentin Tarantino wants to make a Zorro Django crossover? Django with Zorro. Maybe they'll get Antonio Banderas as Zorro again.
Oh Jesus, that would be so bad. That'd be so
No, bad. it's gotta be a white guy as Zorro. Isn't a Chinese guy as Zorro.
You gotta whitewash everything, or I don't know.
I don't know how it goes.
Yeah. We don't work for Tarantino, which is probably a good thing. Because I'd probably be like, get your hands off of that woman's feet. But let's not talk about that. But anyway, so yeah, I haven't seen Midsommar yet, and I really want to. I was a big fan of Hereditary. I just need to block off 2.5 hours for a movie that's going to make me an emotional wreck.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, people were hyping up I loved Hereditary, but I think people were hyping it up a little bit too much.
I think it might have. I would argue it was one top five of last year. I wouldn't.
It was good. I liked it. I don't know where I'd place it, but I liked it a lot.
Okay. Midsummer for me, probably. So what is the, where can people find you on social media, Chris?
Oh, you can find us, twisteddreamsff.com, milwaukeemovietalk.com. I'm on Facebook, Milwaukee Movie Talk, Twisted Dreams Film Festival, Christopher Kai House.
There you go.
Shoot me a friend's request.
Yeah, there you go. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Real Ron Pertee. And that's where you'll find everything there. Cause
I'm on Twitter, but I don't know what my name is on Twitter.
You should learn.
Sorry. I'm not a tweeter.
Oh, see, I think that Instagram is a big thing now, because
that is the big thing. I'm on Instagram too, but I don't know what my name is.
Cause you can post to Instagram and then it'll go to your Facebook and your Twitter. So kill everything at once. Yay! So thank you everybody for watching the inaugural episode of Chris and Ron Live. We're working out the streaming thing.
Yeah,
we're trying.
We'll get better. We'll be better streamers.
We promise we'll be better. We promise. Love us. Subscribe. Yeah, subscribe and like and share and all sorts of other horse shit. I don't know. I'm a YouTuber, but I'm not an asshole YouTuber. So
we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff.
Not just movies.
We're going to talk about life. We're going to do life advice, too.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about film festivals. That's for goddamn sure. Anywho, that's neither here nor there. I want to thank everybody for watching. Thank you, Chris. And we will talk to you guys next week.